Hello, this is DJ Shangri-La. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Maraschino Melodrama. I am going to turn myself up here a little bit more on the mic and see if that helps. It looks like we are mostly in the clear, I'm hoping. We have just heard Kush Dub by Holly Cook featuring Josh Skintz and Jaw 9. Mantovani by The Swinging Cats, Iggy Pop's Jacket by Those Naughty Lumps, Suicide Commando by Zombirella, Yeah Yeah by Mark Wirtz Orchestra and Chorus, one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite renditions, To Experience by The Body Snatchers, James Bond by The Selector, We're Having All the Fun by Funboy 3, and for tonight's cherry on top, we have I Don't Want to Live with the Monkees. So thank you for tuning in to the radio show where technical difficulties live and thrive, Maraschino Melodrama.
On the outskirts of our town lived a gal named Sadie Brown. They say she's making money by the peck. For the simple country maid landed on the hit parade in a manner that we never did expect. Unlike any of her kin, she grew whiskers on her chin, and her sideburns caused the neighbors to remark. Through no effort of her own, soon her beard became full grown. Now they've got her on display in Central Park. They call her Sagebrush Sadie, the famous bearded lady. Her whiskers brought her riches and renown. They're the pride of the museum, and it costs two bits to see them. And the family's getting rich on Sadie Brown. All the neighbors they're about tried their best to figure out why she grew a set of whiskers, but they can't. Both her sisters look like Ma, and the boys resemble Pa, but Sadie seems to favor General Grant. She started running round with a barber in the town, and the fellows seem to have an awful crush. But it's easy to explain why she drove the man insane, for Sadie had the skin you love to brush. Her barber friend proposed, just as everyone supposed, but the way he did it made her kind of vexed. He'd been married twice before, and the thing that made her sore was when he rode up to her gate and hollered next. She consented with a smile, and he led her down the aisle to the chapel where the morning glories bloom. But poor old Parson Trout couldn't get it figured out, so he shook hands with the bride and kissed the groom. They call her Sagebrush Sadie, the famous bearded lady. She's happy that she's wed and settled down. For her little baby daughter has a mustache like an otter. She's the image of her mother, Sadie Brown.
Myself alone when day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. You're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the ties that bind. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
I were a fish, 'cause fishes have a better life than people.
People,
they don't have all the care and strife of people.
People,
a fish can swim, that's all they ask of him. A fish is free to roam around the sea and look for love wherever he can find it.
Find it.
He flirts with every lady fish as she goes swimming by. And if she gives her tail a swish and winks a fishy eye, a minnow all at once can be a whale of a guy. I wish, I wish I were a fish.
I wish I were a fish.
Fishes have a better life than people.
People,
they don't have all the care and strife of people.
People,
a fish can swim, that's all they ask of him.
A fish
is free to roam around the sea and look for love wherever he can find it.
Find it.
He flirts with every lady fish as she goes swimming by, And if she gives her tail a swish and winks a fishy eye, a minnow all at once can be a whale of a guy. I wish,
I wish,
I wish,
I wish,
I wish I were a fish.
from now on, things are going to be different.
I'll say they're going to be different. With this money, I can get away from every rotten, stinking thing that makes me think of this place or you.
Get your things out of this house right now before I throw them into the street and you with them. Get out before I kill you. From now on, things are going to be different.
can't describe the pain that seems to fill my brain.
dead.
Big Daddy!
Something great was to be, and she hoped and hoped.
Jane. And that's what happened to Jane. What really happened to Jane? And that's what happened to Jane.
I need someone to love me, someone to possess, someone to hook up the back of my dress. Yeah, that's what I need a man of my own. Someone to fight with, someone to adore, someone to hurry down to the store. Yeah, that's what I need a man of my own. Someone to have, someone to hold, someone to warm me up when I'm cold, and overheat me. Someone to kiss me, someone I can pet, someone to light up my cigarette. Yeah, that's what I need a man of my own. Someone to tease me, someone I can vamp, someone to give me all his green stamps. Yeah, that's what I need a man of my own. Someone who won't cheat unless I cheat first, take me for better, expect just the worst. Yeah, that's what I need a man of my own. Someone to inspire me, if I keep forgetting his name. I got so many boyfriends, guess every woman needs what I do. Someone to bring home the pay and wash the dishes too. Yeah, that's what I need a man of my own. Then I can leave the other girls, fellas, alone.
Alone. And again, the breast fetish.
We'll be right back. Are you hearing me at all?
Yes.
Yes.
Present Dime Store Radio Theater.
first installment this week, that rascally raconteur, Richard Rogue, with that singing sensation, Dick Powell himself, with this week's story, The McDonald Murder Case.
The F.W. Fitch Company presents Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. F.W. Fitch Company, makers of Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo and Fitch's shaving creams, presents Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
For the benefit of those who tuned in hoping to hear Cass Daly, may I introduce myself? My name is Richard Rogue. I'm a private investigator. I said it and I'm glad. Private investigator. That's the Harvard way of saying I'm a guy who has parlayed a hard head and a great curiosity about other people's affairs into a career. At least that's the way the homicide squad's Lieutenant Urban, who shares my interest in unalive bodies, feels about me. And I'd also better tell you now that I have a certain personal idiosyncrasy. I hold audible consultations with my alter ego once in a while when I'm confused and in need of advice. His name is Ugor, which is Rogue spelled backwards, and he's a very fresh little spook. Of course, I wouldn't have known I had an alter ego if Betty Callahan, the girl I would rather be marooned on a desert island with than not, hadn't browbeaten me into reading Sigmund Freud. Betty, who is the sharpest newspaper woman in town, extends upward about 5 feet from the floor, has hair the color of cordovan leather and firelight, and a tip-tilted Irish nose shying away from the most kissable mouth in the world. She's wonderful. And on this day I'm going to tell you about, she and I had had lunch together. She had an hour to kill, so she walked back to my office with me.
You know, Richard, this is much too nice a day to work.
Look, Betty, if you can get rid of that assignment you have for this afternoon, we'll go to the races, huh?
Oh, I haven't been out this year.
I got some information from Herb Hyde at the cigar store in the lobby. He gave me two horses who gave him their word they were ready today.
Talking horses?
Only to Herb. They don't speak English, but fortunately he speaks horse. Now get on the phone and ask that slave driver at your city desk for the afternoon off. Tell him you have to go to your grandmother's wedding or something.
Well, I'll try, but it's not going to work, and I know it.
Just sit right down there and pay no attention to that sign asking you to leave a nickel in the cigar box for every call.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'll do anything for the girl I love.
Better think of something better than my grandmother's wedding. I know. I'll tell him I want to go to the race.
Okay, but...
You're Richard Rogue?
Yeah.
A detective in New York named Clement Cohan referred me to you. My name is Charles McDonald.
Yeah, I got his letter.
I got to see you right away.
Go on in that office there. I'll be in a minute.
All right. Please, hurry.
What was the matter with him? He looked sick.
Probably been drinking. I noticed that from the...
Oh, wait a minute. Hello, give me the city desk, please.
Now make it a good story. Tell him that your grandmother...
Hello, Walter. This is Betty Callahan. Look, can you put somebody else on that Struble story this afternoon? I want to go to the races. But Walter... Yes, but... Okay.
What did he say?
No.
Oh.
He told me to get right back to the paper, and I like my job, so here I go.
Oh, well, then wait a minute. I'll go in and talk with this guy, give him the quick brush and go over with you. Maybe I can talk Walter into letting you take the afternoon off for the betterment of racing, huh?
Well, you'll have to hurry. Walter's mad.
Well, just take it easy. I'll be right back. Hey. Hey, what's the matter? Good Lord, Betty.
Richard, what happened? Oh, he fell out of his chair.
Yeah. Get Urban on the phone and call for an ambulance.
Oh, Rich. He's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, very dead.
We'll continue our story in just a moment.
Rogue's Gallery, with Dick Powell as Richard Rogue himself, is brought to you by Sheena's Jungle Room and Mid-Valley Mutations. And this week, brought to you by Fitch Shampoo. When you're in a fix and you've got an itch, you've got to make the switch to Fitch Shampoo. Try our new formula, which meets the legal requirements for chicken feet per bottle. Which shampoo? Fitch Shampoo. Now we return you to that streetwise scoundrel, Richard Rogue, on Dime Store Radio Theater.
Now back to Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. I should be inured to the sight and smell of sudden death by this time, but it always does something to me. It freezes my stomach and gives me a dull ache at the base of my brain. When I left Betty Callahan on the phone in my reception room and walked into my private office, I found my mysterious visitor falling forward out of his chair in death. I knelt by his side and loosened the long top coat he was wearing. The front of his suit and his shirt were red, and there were two bullet holes, one to the right of his heart and one a little below it. I tried to blame myself for not talking to him at once, for not understanding that his staggering, shuffling gait was not caused by drinking, but by loss of blood. I looked in his billfold for identification. His name was Charles McDonald, and he was assistant manager of a Park Avenue jewelry store in New York.